coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And this is the Hagman Report for today. It is Thursday, March 2nd, 2023. I want to thank you for joining me. Thank you so much for your belief and trust in this platform. I have a lot of information to get into, a lot of things to talk about. Announcement, don't forget, we are going to be having the Hagman Interactive Meeting, 7 p.m. this Sunday, for our supporters. Now, you might say, well, wait a second. You were defrocked by Patreon. How do we possibly, how does this work? Your answers are coming tomorrow. Pay attention to tomorrow's broadcast. It'll all be clear in how you can join. And Eric has done just a tremendous job and everything. I'm telling you something. When you see what's coming, it's going to blow your mind. What's coming tomorrow and what's coming after that. We are going to have just a tremendous meeting on Sunday. And I may have a surprise for the supporters on Sunday night. A special guest to join us, someone who you know and love. Okay, I'm just going to leave it there. It's going to depend on schedules. So I'm going to leave it right there. But don't forget, this Sunday, the formerly known as the Patreon meeting, it's going to be the Hagman Interactive meeting on Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. And how to join us will be made clear during tomorrow's program. Okay. Now, today, I mean, there is so much news to cover. Obviously, being an investigative group, investigative platform, not an investigative journalist, but investigators, credentialed investigators, the situation, I just want to mention this, the situation in East Palestine is heartbreaking. It is dangerous, and there is a lot of stuff going on, folks, that the media is not reporting at all. I will say this. Some of your support has been used to give some support, food and water to certain to victims of that. That's all I'm going to say, because it's not about us. It's about them. But you've got this, by orders of magnitude, one of the greatest ecological disasters, man-made, no less, this century, I believe. It is absolutely, well, it's on par with 9/11, and it's going to have lasting effects for people in multiple states, but at ground zero in East Palestine, the people there, I can tell you this, you breathe the air, your eyes water, your chest tightens, you touch the water, you get welts, it stings. I'm talking about the creek water. Water coming out of the faucet, you cannot trust. That's how bad things are. More on that next week, because this is not going away. Biden, forget it. Pete, butt plug, forget it. FEMA, forget it. They're not coming to your aid. That's why we have to be prepared and help one another. All right, but today, from the weaponization of the Department of Justice and FBI, the hearings that are going on. Yeah, I want to see some results. But this gets into what happened on January 6th. This gets into a number of issues. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about Ukraine, World War III. World War III is right around, I mean, we're in World War III right now. So I'm going to address that. But there's an overshadowing issue right now. And I hope you're asking this question. You know the story of the lab leak with SARS-CoV-2 or COVID. Why now? Why now? Why all of a sudden now are we getting reports from the Department of Energy, which oversees the process programs and some of the lab work? Why are they saying, okay, well, yeah. And then all of a sudden having the FBI jump in as well saying, yeah, it looks like a lab leak. It came from the lab. And then why is Hollywood getting involved in the manner that they are? Woody Harrelson on Saturday Night Live talking about Big Pharma. Very interesting piece, right? If you happen to see that, if not, well, you can look it up. You can find it online. John Stewart versus Stephen Colbert. But again, why now? I want to answer those questions because people, I believe, are getting it wrong. And I'm talking about people from Rand Paul to others in the media, including Dan Bongino. I'm looking at him. I'm thinking, wait a second. You know, this is not a mere distraction. The question is this: is this an intelligence operation that we are witnessing, or is this a cover up? I don't believe it's the latter. I believe it's the former, but I believe it's being done with purpose. And I'm going to lay that case out for you today and into tomorrow's program as well for the big picture tomorrow. But I'm going to lay the foundation today. But before I get into that, World War III pending. Now, Eric the Tech, by the way, thank you for accommodating me and doing all kinds of stuff and the work that you've done. I want to just publicly thank you. I don't think I could do this without Eric the Tech. He's the man. I'm going to go a little bit out of order here on the show notes, just a tad. The attached video, this has its place in this big scheme, plan, plot, of everything. You know, of course, what's going on in Ukraine. And if you haven't seen the documentary Ukraine on Fire by Oliver Stone, dates back to 2016, I believe it is, definitely watch that. But understand what's going on here on the world scale. You've got right now, again, the question, why now with all of this dominating lab leak stuff? Why the 180-degree shift? Especially in the shadows of World War III. Well, maybe that's part of it. Maybe the Ukraine 46 biolabs is part of it. Maybe now blaming China, it must be in vogue because what's China doing? Well, China is actively providing armaments to Russia to be used in Ukraine. Huh. Whatever happened to China good, Russia bad, we must support Ukraine? Well, we must support Ukraine hasn't gone away. China now, of course, taking the more nefarious approach. But how does that tie in with this lab leak? Again, a psychological operation. Think bigger. Think about this. If you want to demonize China for their role in helping Russia, supplying Russia with arms, I'm talking about armaments. blame the million deaths in the United States of SARS-CoV-2 on China. It takes away a lot of things, and it kind of shifts blame here and there, but it provides some cover for the Faucis of the world. Or does it? It doesn't. Because when you dig down and take things apart, of course, it'll all... you can see the conspiracy. You can see the intelligence operation for what it is. But you have to look... First of all, you have to know what you're looking for, and then you have to look closer. One of the pieces of video that's been floating around has been Zelensky saying that, you know what, your children are going to be fighting in this war. It's a very, very, very short clip. And of course, social media says, well, this is taken out of context. This is taken this is assuming that Ukraine is going to be part of NATO. And but for all practical purposes right now, Ukraine is part of NATO. For all practical purposes. And maybe not officially, but unofficially. After all, we've given NATO $200 billion. Joey Sixplugs has. I guess, you know, the checkbook is open from Nancy Pelosi to Biden to even rhinos. Now you've got a lot of NGOs and military, paramilitary groups involved in this conflict. Think about how Vietnam started. You're seeing the groundwork, just like you saw in Vietnam, you're seeing it here with Ukraine, except this will be on a global scale. But here's what Zelensky's got to tell you, the American public. In case you missed it, I want to make sure you hear it. Here it is. It's the attached video.
Will have to send their sons and daughters exactly the same way as we are sending their sons and daughters to war. And they will have to fight. Because it's NATO that we're talking about. And they will be dying. God forbid. Because it's a horrible thing.
That was clipped off a little bit, but they're talking about your sons and your daughters. They're talking about American sons and the sons and daughters of Americans, as well as Western countries. The response, of course, is no and hell no. But yet, that's what he expects. And a lot of the rhinos are behind that. Okay, now, again, hold that thought, because it's not palatable to you right now, is it? It's a big no. But wait, so was our involvement in World War II. Of course, that was until Pearl Harbor. And World War I, same thing. And I could go on. But the groundwork is being laid for our involvement, direct involvement in this war. This war that was started by the Obama, in recent times, the Obama regime, Valerie Jarrett, Victoria Nuland, some of the same people still around. And by the way, if you want to think about a ticket for 2024, think about Michelle Obama and Gavin Newsom. I don't know in which order, but those two come to mind. It's not going to be Biden, and it's not going to be Harris. They're not competent enough in these matters. Okay. That's the intent. Now let's get into some things that are being done to make sure that you and I don't don't cause any trouble, that we keep our mouths shut, that we shut up and we obey. Well, how do I do this? I asked myself. If I wanted to, I guess if I wanted to lay the groundwork, the foundation, to prove that the government and the people associated with the government, they want us to keep our mouths shut. How do I convey this? I've got two video clips. Video number one in the show prep. Go to HagmanReport.com, open up the episode for today. All of the source videos. Chances are we're not going to get through all of them, but they're all going to be there. The Biden regime is using 9/11 era precedent to go after conservatives. They're going after people who object to the policies of paying off, using money we don't have to pay off student loans, the $200 billion to Ukraine, the military support for Ukraine, and on and on and on. Let's go to video one. This is the Charlie Kirk Show and Real America's Voice. I thought this was pretty spot on. Here it is, video number one.
The Biden regime and the Uniparty have used 9/11 era laws and, let's say precedent from the Patriot Act to now go after conservatives and MAGA Republicans. I don't think this topic can be talked about enough. And you've especially talked about this in regards to January 6th. Can you just build that out a little bit more? Because we're seeing growing and growing evidence that there's a supply and demand issue when it comes to quote unquote terrorism. When we think of terrorism, when conservatives in this audience think of terrorism, you probably conjure up an image of somebody that might be a radical Islamic terrorist or somebody that might be a foreign adversary that might want to bomb a building or hijack a plane. But if you ask a rank and file FBI agent and they were to conjure up an image of a terrorist, it would be a white Midwestern Christian with a MAGA hat on. Darren, why is this significant?
Well, it's significant because it speaks to this broad and really dangerous trend in our politics and society, which is the weaponization of the national security apparatus for political purposes. And that's something that we've seen accelerate really dramatically since the elevation of the Trump presidency. But it's intensified pretty strongly in the past couple of years. And it's what you see, for instance, in January 6th, the whole idea of, you know, domestic terrorists and so forth. You know, that's casting, you know, over half the country that the regime objects to for political reasons as effectively as national security threats. And once you've cast a group of people as national security threats, you've implicitly, if not overtly and explicitly, justified and even demanded the weaponization of the national security state against those people. And so it's this dangerous trend of injecting the vocabulary and the posture of national security into what should be, you know, a regular course of domestic political disputes. You even see it with this latest disinformation.
All right. That's good enough. Now, you remember the run-up, of course, to, let me put it this way. If you disagree with the position of the government and you are a Christian conservative, they're coming after you. The weaponization of the Department of Justice, the FBI, we all know this. But what happens on a larger scale? And again, there are multiple forces, multiple programs, multiple psychological operations at work here. It almost could be confusing to keep the players and scorecards correct, but there are multiple things happening here. Going to the SARS-CoV-2 lab leak, 180 degrees. Wait a second. Okay, I guess the Wuhan virus did come from Wuhan. I guess it wasn't from a wet market. All right. But what happened 2 years ago or even 6 months ago or 3 years ago? If you dared bring that up, you were censored, you were banned, you were mocked, you were ridiculed, right? That was a psychological operation. Even to the point of people being self-censored. Now, the government wants you to believe, or at least the right, the Republicans want you to believe they're doing something about it. And to satisfy your bloodlust, right, you want some accountability. So what's happening? There's show trials being held. The show trials are trials in the House, just like we've seen forever, right? Fauci being grilled by Rand Paul. But what's Fauci doing right now? Is he being held accountable? No, he's out giving speeches for $100,000 a speech. Is anyone being held accountable for anything? Has anyone been held accountable for anything? No. But some of the information is coming out. I want to show you this clip. I'm not sure. You know Mark Hauck, who is, if you know Coach Dave, you know Mark. And at any rate, Mark is a Christian. And, of course, was arrested, taken down, you know, hit in front of his family by this armored SWAT team when he volunteered to turn himself in. Anyway, he was a subject of Josh Hawley's questioning of Merrick Garland, okay? And this made for good TV, but my question is, what's going to be done about this? Or asked differently, and again, follow me on this. What may happen to you when you say, no, my son or daughter, they're not going off to war. No, my son or daughter, they're not going to put their lives on the line for some corrupt Ukrainian oligarch. No. My son or daughter, they're not going to, or whatever the case might be, they're not going to be subjected to your transgendered crap in schools. Here's Josh Hawley giving it to Merrick Garland, but to what end, I ask? Makes for good TV, right? Primetime hearings makes for good TV about the weaponization of the FBI and DOJ. The only thing this does do is it does awaken some people. And for that, I thank them. But I want to see accountability. But let's just take a minute or two of this clip here from the weaponization hearings. Josh Hawley asking questions of Merrick Garland, the boy, did we miss a big bullet? Potentially for the Supreme Court, now the Attorney General under Biden. Watch this.
Attorney General Garland, let me just ask you, does your department have a problem with anti-Catholic bias?
Our department protects all religions and all ideologies. It does not have any bias against any religion of any kind.
Well, you could have surprised me, because given the resources that you are expending and the apparently intelligence assets that you are deploying against Catholics, it appears, and other people of faith, while simultaneously turning a blind eye while people are executed gang style in the streets of our cities, including in my home state, your answer frankly surprises me. Let's talk about the Mark Hauck case, for example. You've been asked about this already today, and frankly, your answers really astound me. This is a case where a Catholic pro-life demonstrator, father, was accused of disorderly conduct in front of an abortion center. The local prosecutor, the Philadelphia district attorney, who is a Democrat, a liberal, very progressive, declined to prosecute. There was a private suit that got dismissed. And then after all of that, your Justice Department sent between 20 and 30 armed agents in the early morning hours to the Houck's private residence to arrest this guy after he had offered to turn himself in voluntarily. Here's the photo. Once again, you can see the long guns. You can see the ballistic shields. You can see that they're wearing bulletproof vests. Why did the Justice Department do this? Why did you send 20 to 30 SWAT-style agents and a SWAT-style team to this guy's house when everybody else had declined to prosecute and he'd offered to turn himself in?
Determinations of how to make arrests under arrest warrants are made based by the tactical operators in the district. They are not.
But you surely looked into it by this point, right? You know the answer, surely.
All I know is what the FBI has said, which is that they made decisions on the ground as to what was safest and easiest.
So
you do not agree with your description of what happened on the scene.
You don't agree with my description. I'm pointing out what the photo is. There are agents here who have long guns and ballistic shields. Let's take a look at the hardened criminals that your Justice Department sent these armed agents to go terrorize on that morning. Here they are. Here they are at mass. Here's the seven children with Mr. Houck and his wife. In this early morning, they were all at home. Mrs. Houck has said repeatedly, the children were screaming. They feared for their lives. You got these agents demanding that he come out. They've got the gun, she said, pointing at the house and at them. He has offered to turn himself in. And this is who you go to terrorize. What's really interesting to me is this seems to directly contradict your own memorandum about the use of force at the Justice Department. You say officers may use only the force that is objectively reasonable to effectively control an incident. Are you telling me that in your opinion as Attorney General, it was objectively necessary to use 20 or 30 SWAT-style agents with long guns and ballistic shields for these people?
What I'm saying is that decisions about how to go about this were made on the ground by FBI agents.
So you're saying you don't know?
I'm saying what I just said.
Which is that you're abdicating responsibility?
You can stop right there. It's making me sick, actually. Ruby Ridge, does that ring anyone's bell? Has anything changed over the last, 10, 20 years? No. What you're seeing now is a doubling down. You're seeing Merrick Garland, the weaponization of the FBI, which was always intended, which was present in Ruby Ridge and Waco, the weaponization of the Department of Justice, the Attorney General. Remember Janet Reno? That's right. Florida parking lot. Janet Reno. Okay. So if you disagree or if you become disagreeable, they're coming after us. Just understand that. Hey, if you have a pistol with an arm brace, 10 million of us do. The ATF, why not make you a felon? That's what's happening. And you may think, okay, what does this have to do with the SARS-CoV-2 or what's going on right now? Again, I'm showing you the template. I'm showing you that the facts have not changed. Things have not changed. They're only doubling down. Why? Because they lost time during the Trump era. Look, like him or don't like him, I don't care. President Trump was a speed bump in the road to this end game objective. And once you hear the end game objective and see it, you'll understand. Now, let's, before I get into the meat of the intelligence operation of the coronavirus, again, all of these are peripheral issues to what is the heart of the matter. What about Ukraine? What about Ukraine? Let's go to video 4. You know that $200 billion roughly, or $100 billion plus all the other little, a billion here, billion there to Ukraine? Where's that money going? Do we have an audit set up? Let's find out. Video number four, Tony Schaefer. He shows us where the money to Ukraine really goes. Here it is.
Two questions. By funding these oligarchs, how much are we ultimately funding China? And second piece is why, you know, position the Ukraine in this light? Is it strictly about the Bidens?
Well, there's three things. So one of the areas where the money's going is to U.S. corporations. Remember, companies are making weapons, so they benefit from all of this as well. So some of this is being spent right there in the swamp where we're going to be this coming week. Secondly, though, to your point, China benefits greatly because so much of what's going on actually allows for us to drain our resources while China is growing. Remember, behind the scenes right now, China is actually secretly providing Russia weapons, and at the same time, we're trying to prop up Ukraine. We're not focusing on the Pacific as much as we should. They sent like 200 troops over to Taiwan as a deterrent. 200 troops? Come on. This is insane. So that's another issue. And obviously, the whole thing regarding the benefiting of oligarchs in Ukraine, what we've seen before is that those who are in power benefit greatly and take the money and hide it away. That's what happened in Afghanistan. We're still trying to figure out the numbers that we spent in Afghanistan. We spent $1 trillion+ over there, and look what happened there. So I'm concerned that we're throwing good money after bad with no understanding of how it's going to be spent, going to the most corrupt in Ukraine without any real effect in defending the Ukrainian people. I just don't think it's a good idea.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Eric Tech, I forgot. I forgot about Afghanistan. We armed ISIS. We gave them everything. Wow, I forgot about that. So what Tony Schaefer is saying is this. Who's benefiting? U.S. corporations. Obviously, the elite of the elite here in the U.S. and all of the West, actually. And of course, the Bidens, you got to have 10% for the big guy, as evidenced not just through Ukraine lately, but as evidenced through the Biden laptop. Remember that? Oh, that's out there. Oh, and about that, about Mark Hauck. And how they treated, the Department of Justice treated him. John Paul McIsaac, the man who owned the store with Biden's laptop. You remember him, right? Who doesn't have the store anymore and was harassed relentlessly by the Department of Justice and the FBI, threatened with arrest, and now being sued, of course, by Hunter Biden for theft. Which, again, is not just the weaponization of the AG and the FBI, but also lawfare. You see what's going on here? Okay, hold on. Again, what does this have to do with SARS-CoV-2? The other beneficiary, as Tony Schaefer said, is China. China. I can whisper like Biden, China. China is benefiting. So when Rand Paul says that the latest revelation that the Department of Energy has concluded that a lab leak is likely as cause of COVID pandemic, something that we knew three years ago, we knew this. Now this is being grabbed onto by the media. Now this is becoming acceptable to talk about. Now you're not being censored on social media when you say this. Why? Why now? Inquiring minds want to know. Rand Paul appeared on Hannity this week, saying the U.S. government has destroyed trust in vaccines and everything else because they're telling you stuff that's obviously not true and you shouldn't take it. Okay. Now let's get into this the SARS-CoV-2 COVID China lab leak. Let's get into the intelligence part of it now. Video 5, Dr. Marty Makary. Let's play this. The runtime on this is just over 2 minutes, but it's an important 2 minutes. Here it is.
Misinformation during the pandemic. The greatest perpetrator of misinformation during the pandemic has been the United States government. Misinformation that COVID was spread through surface transmission, that vaccinated immunity was far greater than natural immunity, that masks were effective. Now we have the definitive Cochrane review. What do you do with that review? Cochrane is the most authoritative evidence body in all of medicine and has been for decades. Do you just ignore it, not talk about it? That myocarditis was more common after the infection than the vaccine. Not true. It's 4 to 28 times more common after the vaccine. That young people benefit from a booster. Misinformation. Our two top experts on vaccines quit the FDA in protest over this particular issue, pushing boosters in young, healthy people. The data was never there. That's why the CDC never disclosed hospitalization rates among boosted Americans under age 50. The vaccine mandates would increase vaccination rates. The George Mason University study shows it didn't. It did one thing. It created never vaxxers who are now not getting the childhood vaccines they need to get. Over and over again, we've seen something that goes far beyond using your best judgment with the information at hand. We've seen something which is unforgivable, and that is the weaponization of medical research itself. The CDC putting out their own shoddy studies, like their own study on natural immunity, looking at one state for 2 months, when they had data for years on all 50 states. Why did they only report that one sliver of data? Why did they salami slice the giant database? Because it gave them the result they wanted. Same with masking study. Well, the data has now caught up in giant systematic reviews, and the public health officials were intellectually dishonest. They lied to the American people. Thank you.
All right. So what he's saying, obviously, masks were a lie. Surface contamination was a lie. Everything by the CDC was a lie. But don't worry, folks. Don't worry. Dickless Levine, Health and Human Services, got it all under control in the same fashion that Pete Buttplug has got East Palestine under control, or at least the transportation side of things. FEMA, it's all under control. Everything is a flipping lie. From Ukraine to what's going on in East Palestine to the Chinese spy balloon to everything's a lie. Or stated differently, it's worse than that. It's an intelligence operation because, what did he say there? He said, wow, created a generation of never vaxxers. Okay. How'd that work out in Canada, for example? A Western country to our north. You can't go from one province to another without getting jabbed. You can't come into the U.S. Still can't, I believe. I'm not entirely sure about that, but there are still restrictions. And how did the people who protested against these mandates, how were they treated? Oh, that's right. Remember what happened with the truckers up in because people, we forget because we're fire hosed with information by this intelligence operation. They take away your bank accounts, or they freeze your bank accounts. They take away your platforms. They take away your trucks, your businesses, your ability to do business. That's Canada, though. What about the United States? They just busted in your door. Or Merrick Garland, he's right on the case, sending out the marshals and the FBI, the G-men out there, to the disagreeable. But again, does that answer the question as to why the 180 on the lab leak? It's starting to, if you're following me. And I know it's confusing, but again, if you look at everything that we're seeing as part spokes of a tire, the tire is an intelligence operation. And the goal is your compliance, your subjugation, our subjugation to this world authority. Oh, that's right. What's that world authority? The World Health Organization. That's right. The World Health Organization that's going to essentially make all nations subservient to their wishes. You know, we spoke about that before. And the amendments that Biden's working on and our government's working on and Biden's going to sign on to. There's another question here I'm going to toss out. It falls under the same category. You got to wonder, is with all the players involved here, you got Biden. Again, this is happening under Biden's supposed, you know, handling of things. Because Zelensky didn't, Russia didn't act against Ukraine until Biden was in office. Ukraine, of course, 46 biolabs. Ukraine, of course, the country that Biden said, well, son of a... 6 hours later, he was fired, and we know we did gave him the $1 billion of aid. Remember that? But you have to wonder something. And I found this little snippet, and I found it very interesting. As part of this operation, some of the mechanics, because, for example, if you're engaged in criminal activity, let's say you're going to commit some sort of fraud. There are different components to that fraud or different components to different things you do to engage in the fraud. So just like that, there are different parts of this crime, of this huge magnitude. You got to ask yourself, is Zelensky blackmailing Biden? This is a minute, 45 seconds, video 6 in the show notes.
Was essentially run by the United States. It was an intel operation. It was a DARPA operation. It was essentially run by the United States. And there is some speculation that SARS-CoV-2 was developed there, not in Wuhan, but it was developed in Ukraine and then trafficked to Wuhan. And that's where it was released and spread around the world. I do believe it was intentional. I don't believe that this was a lab leak by accident. I think that the timing is way too coincidental for that. When it comes to Ukraine, I think that, you know, there is a possibility. We don't have any proof yet, but I'm relying on you, Natalie, to dig this up and report it as fact. But the speculation is perhaps that because of this Ukrainian biolab situation, that was one of the reasons that Vladimir Putin went in the first place, because he knew that the United States was conducting this dangerous gain-of-function research, these bioweapons, right there on his border. He had warned the United States to stop. We apparently didn't stop, and that Vladimir Putin could not stand to have this continue right on his doorstep. So that was one of several reasons why he went into Ukraine. Again, this is speculation. But then once the war began, Volodymyr Zelensky is now, could be, perhaps, and again, speculation, blackmailing Joe Biden and his administration to continue this war, continue pumping all of this money and all of these weapons into the combat zone, because he knows our secret about this bioweapons and biolabs network. Again, I don't have any proof on this yet. I'm relying on you, Natalie, to do your great investigation.
Now, isn't that interesting? That was Monica Crowley speaking to Natalie Winters. And Natalie Winters is a tremendous investigative journalist. Monica Crowley has raised some interesting points. And now we're starting to get to the meat of things. connecting the dots or watching the spokes go into a central location here. Because remember the pushback by social media, by media writ large. Remember the pushback against, the source of SARS-CoV-2. The push that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation. The push against President Trump since day one that he was a Russian agent, going back to, if you dig deep, going back to the dossier by Christopher Steele in MI6 and U.S. intelligence agencies and so on, the very same people who are involved in this cover-up. Now, what Monica Crowley's saying, I was thinking about. And when I saw this, I'm going to ask you to play that one more time. I know we're short on time, but I'm going to ask you to play that one more time. Can we do that? Are we allowed to? Okay. I want you to listen to this one more time. And please let this sink in. This is so critically important. Because I really think she's onto something. Because remember the pictures that came out right after the breach of Ukrainian border? Speaking of borders, that reminds me. Why are they so incredibly intent on protecting Ukraine's borders while keeping ours open? The flow of fentanyl coming through the borders, unfettered, essentially. Oh, they're getting some, yeah. By protecting Ukraine's borders. But remember the pictures of at least one of the biolabs within the first hours of that invasion by Russia? They had a big bonfire in front of one of the biolabs there. I mean, a huge fire. And they were throwing papers in there. Really? That's what you're doing? Okay. But again, Monica, tell us again what could be taking place. Here it is.
It was maybe an Intel operation. It was a DARPA operation. It was essentially run by the United States. And there is some speculation that SARS-CoV-2 was developed there, not in Wuhan, but it was developed in Ukraine and then trafficked to Wuhan. And that's where it was released and spread around the world. I do believe it was intentional. I don't believe that this was a lab leak by accident. I think that the timing is way too coincidental for that. When it comes to Ukraine, I think that, you know, there is a possibility. We don't have any proof yet, but I'm relying on you, Natalie, to dig this up and report it as fact. But the speculation is perhaps that because of this Ukrainian biolab situation, that was one of the reasons that Vladimir Putin went in the first place, because he knew that the United States was conducting this dangerous gain-of-function research, these bioweapons, right there on his border. He had warned the United States to stop. We apparently didn't stop, and that Vladimir Putin could not stand to have this continue right on his doorstep. So that was one of several reasons why he went into Ukraine. Again, this is speculation. But then once the war began, Volodymyr Zelensky is now, could be, perhaps, and again, speculation, blackmailing Joe Biden and his administration to continue this war, pumping all of this money and all of these weapons into the combat zone, because he knows our secret about this bioweapons and biolabs network. Again, I don't have any proof on this yet. I'm relying on you, Natalie, to do your great investigation.
All right. So there you heard it again, and thanks for listening to that again. DARPA operation. We know this. The money, this is according to Dr. Andrew Huff in his book. If you haven't read it, I suggest you read it. This was a a situation where there was a, in his view, as a worker for EcoHealth Alliance, Peter Daszak, claiming that he was working with the CIA. This was the CIA transferring tech, biotech, to the Communist Chinese Party. Why would that be? And the flow of money came from USAID to the National Institute of Health. The some of the people involved or agencies involved in the financing funding of gain-of-function work include globalists and tech companies such as Google, Wellcome Trust, the Rockefeller Fund. And where did some of this money, where's a lot of this money laundered through? Ukraine. Where did we see a lot of the information on Hunter Biden's laptop? Where was that pointed to? Ukraine. Who else was involved with Biden, Hunter Biden, Jim Biden, Joe Biden, and others in that same circle? Who else was involved? China. China. All right. So when President Trump got into, and I said this yesterday, when he got into office, what happened? He slapped sanctions on China because he wanted to bring manufacturing back to the United States. He didn't want us to be dependent upon China. Now, having to do that, of course, what would happen? Well, there'd be a lot of people losing a lot of money because of the kickbacks and because of the of how they set things up, the cheap labor over in China. I played this yesterday. I want to play this again. This would be video 6B in the show notes. This is from Stinchfield tonight. This is 2.5 minutes long, roughly. Again, replayed from yesterday. The question is, was SARS-CoV-2 a retaliation for sanctions? And again, think now in terms of this 180 in demonizing China. Not that they shouldn't be, but sometimes you got, when you're a criminal, sometimes you've got to change course. You've got to kind of go with the flow in order not to get caught too bad. Watch this.
The worst part of all of this is that maybe, just maybe, the worst mistake, or at least underestimation, that President Trump had during his time in office is that when he handed down all of the sanctions against China, finally we had a president holding that rogue nation accountable for its actions against our economy. He had no, he could not assume, had no thought that China would unleash a deadly pandemic on the world because of those sanctions. I actually believe this was retaliation to President Trump handing down those sanctions. Now, I don't blame President Trump for this. What I blame is China not giving a damn in the world about the deaths of innocent civilians. So China's all about propaganda, right? We know that. We know that China knows that the rest of the world is literally scared of China. Why are they scared of China? Because China supplies everything to them. The world is reliant on China, and that's just how China wants it. You know who else appears to be reliant on China? The Bidens, for millions, and maybe even Dr. Fauci. Dr. Fauci had to have known that this was a lab leak, and yet still he pushed this idea that it was not, even as many members of his CDC were saying, we believe this is from the lab. They had an entire cover-up. No, let's keep pushing this idea that it was from the wet market, that it was animal to human transmission. Just for a flashback, roll Dr. Fauci.
I have always said that the high likelihood is that this is a natural occurrence. I didn't dismiss anything. I just said it's a high likelihood that this is a natural occurrence from the environment of an animal reservoir that we have not yet identified. Well, and I still maintain that, but as I just mentioned in response to other questions, that since you don't know 100% about that, because no one knows, including me 100%, what the origin is the reason why we're in favor of further investigation.
This is the similarity between that Chinese spokesperson and Dr. Fauci. All they deal in is propaganda. While Dr. Fauci is making those claims, we have seen emails back and forth between him and his team linking the lab leak theory as a real strong possibility. And he was so concerned about conservatives using it as a talking point that he wanted it downplayed and he wanted that idea squashed. That is not what we deserve from our elected leaders. That's called lying to the American people. And again, I'll say it, Dr. Fauci should be charged with crimes against the people of America. He really should be.
So that was then. Now this is different. Now they're saying, okay, evidence points to a lab leak or this originating in a lab. Monica Crowley saying, you know, I wonder if it was actually done in Ukraine. Well, we can be sure, based on the 46 biolabs and Hunter Biden's involvement, financial involvement in the biotech part of the Ukrainian labs, we can be sure that there was some personal enrichment on the part of the Bidens. There was some U.S. corporate enrichment. And so there's that part. And of course, the sanctions, as Stinchfield had referenced. Now, I hate to do this because we're short on time, but tomorrow I'm going to put it all together because this is perhaps where this is all headed. I'm gonna tell you tomorrow where this is all headed, in my view, based on my investigative research, where this is all going. But all of this background would, to me, was so extremely important for you to understand that what we're witnessing today is not a change of heart, not certainly not a change of heart based on evidence or a change of mind based on evidence. No, this is a psychological operation in response to people beginning to wake up to the lies of our government, especially when they see or fail to see any accountability despite the smoke and mirror dog and pony show in Congress, despite the holding Merrick Garland's feet to the proverbial fire without any kind of, oh, not even the least bit of sunburn to the bottom of his feet. There's nothing there. So they've had to reverse course. Dan Bongino weighed in on this. Steve Bannon weighed in on this. So many other people weighed in on this. And I believe that they're close, but not close enough. The reason? They're not thinking big enough. The lie is different at every level. Remember that. And at this level, the top level, the lie is huge. We are witnessing a psychological operation in play right now. This is for all of the marbles. This is for the game. That's what we're witnessing. That's a foundation. As we enter into World War III, where China is helping Russia, and the U.S. is being pitted against Russia, and by proxy, China. And the West is being pitted against the two forces. It's demonic. It's satanic. It's huge. I've got to tell you, I believe when you, and please tune in tomorrow and ask others to watch today and watch tomorrow. By the time I get done, I believe you're going to say, you know what? I think you're right. Don't forget this weekend, the Hagman Interactive meeting on Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Tomorrow, we're going to show you what we've been working on. Until tomorrow, God bless.